This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath Live. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, with my co-host, comedian Yoshi So. We do this live stream every Tuesday on our YouTube channel to help answer your questions about how to level up your comedy game. And as you know, our mission here is to help cultivate self-made comedians. And our guests today are certainly those and a lot more. We're going to dive all into how they self-produced their comedy specials and how you can do the same, plus a lot more business insights that these comedy vets have under their belts. So thank you for hanging out. Please, if you're listening to the podcast, join these live streams and get in on these goodies. And as goodies. We say, what's goody? Without further ado, let's welcome our guests, Slate Ham and Felicia Madison. Give them a round of applause here. Yay! I'm so excited.
We do our own sound effects too, guys. Just so
you know. Did y'all hear? Yeah. Big budget.
Can I bring that with me to the club?
Yeah. We need some nice laugh tracks for your comedy special.
Right there. We just put an applause break. Right.
That's going to be the number one comedy special tip. You know? A laugh track in post will do wonders. And with AI, you can add audience members. It's pretty cool.
A visceral heart palpitation. God.
So this is going to be fun. If you could, each of you, and we'll do maybe Felicia first, just give a slight backstory of your comedy career for the Hot Breathiverse out there. So we'll have some context for what we're talking about today.
Well, I've been doing comedy for, I don't know how many years, but long enough to have a special out. I started later in life. I was a stay-at-home mom, and when my kids were fully ignoring me, I decided I needed something to do. So I took a comedy class with a friend, and I loved it, and I just never stopped. And a couple of things along the way sort of happened, which led to me ending up running a comedy club. And here I am.
Welcome. Well, welcome. Yes. And Felicia
the
and I met
the very abbreviated yes. version.
Yeah, that was the type 5 version. Well done.
That was a type 5. And Felicia is very helpful. We met during the pandemic and she helped so many comics behind the scenes. And she really is a huge asset to the comedy community, not just in New York, but just around the world. So I just wanted to shout that out as well, that you do a lot of behind the scenes stuff that helps a lot of comics. So I'm very grateful that you're on here today.
Happy to be here.
And Slade, follow that.
Yeah. First of all, Felicia, your special is great. I got a chance to look at part of it last night. And two, I would try to be abbreviated as well. I've been doing comedy for also an embarrassingly long amount of time. I don't want to say, but I will. I started in 2000, so 24 years now. Yeah. I've performed in 60 countries on 6 continents. I've written a book. I produced. This is, I think, if you count the Whiskey Brothers, Jerry, Wayne, Andy, and mine, my 4th comedy special to have produced and or directed. And there's a bunch of other stuff, but for the sake of this, I think that's that. And I'm from Houston. Hey.
Yeah.
It's Houston, awesome. We have a problem.
We have many problems, Felicia. Yeah. They trick you into thinking it's just a problem. There's a problem.
Well, I've got it. It was interesting in Felicia's intro, you saying you've been doing it long enough to do a special. And I know at your club, West Side Comedy Club, that you have several comics that have produced specials there. Mm-hmm. So from your point of view, is there a too soon for comedy specials? Or what are you seeing with these young cats coming through your club wanting to shoot a special after so young?
You know, it's hard to pick when the right time is. I would say maybe some people are too soon. but you got to start somewhere. And I think if you have the material and the resources to do it, it's good to get it under your belt. I know some people that have done their first hour and have never shown it to anyone. It's sitting on their computer still. They kind of just had to do it as a good exercise and just felt like wasn't ready, you kind of know. But if you don't try, you know, if you have an hour of material that you think is pretty good, I think you're pretty set to go. I was, you know, not sure, and I just kind of, you know, I work very well under deadlines, and I just set the deadline for myself and worked my ass off trying to get it ready in time. And some people are working with, you know, you don't have to do it on that date. And I'm like, yes, I do. But I do like working with a lot of comedians. And, you know, I have a comedy school at Westside that we started, and I like helping them produce their specials. Having done it myself and worked with a lot of people, I always have a lot of good pointers for people.
Awesome. What are some of those pointers? And then maybe Slate, you can piggyback on some pointers you may have for comedians as well. What are some of those pointers, Felicia?
Some of them are specific to women. you know, one of the biggest problems I had was I did two shows, and a lot of people do two shows, and I'm sort of leaning to not doing two shows anymore, especially if you're a woman, because it's very hard to look exactly the same way in both. And when I was editing mine, I just had a really hard time putting them together. One of the things that I was always taught at an early stage, and I just kind of never paid attention to because I was like, who cares, was keeping a mic in one hand. I'm like, what difference does it make? And when you have two specials that you're trying to edit together, it matters what hand the mic is in. Because, you know, I wanted to do like a setup and a punchline. He's like, I can't because your mic's in the right hand for that one and the left hand for the other one. It won't look well. Won't
work together. I would have never thought of that. That's
I would never have thought of that either.
Yeah.
Right. So it definitely makes a difference. You know, and having someone there to, if you're doing two shows or even one show, having a person there that really knows your routine and really knows your set, that's taking notes throughout the hour, so that at the end, if you're doing one, they could tell you what you missed or what you didn't miss, so that you could add it in at the end. And if you're doing the second one, you could add it in on the second one. And it's good that they know your routine, because like even if you get it in there and they know how you perform it, they might notice that like something just wasn't right with it. So they know you well enough to say, you know what, you need to do that joke over again. Just reminding people that it's a recording. You know, you could take a step back, you could take a break. I would recommend not having the water bottle on the stool, and just have it off to the side, which A, will make you take that break to really step out of the camera, take your water, and come back in. And again, it's recorded, so it doesn't matter. God, I have so many other ones, but, you know, making sure what you want the intro to be, how you want that first part of it, if it's something you want recorded off. Also a big thing is to know the venue, like the particular place where I did my venue. It was very right stage heavy, but most of my jokes, I was looking left, and that angle of the camera wasn't as good as the right one. So being aware of, you know, the angles and where you're going to be looking and where you're going to be, and that would be something that you should really catch in if you do a run through.
That's solid.
Some of them.
Yeah, those are gold.
That's pretty good. I mean, and you gave us a lot of stuff that I don't think I've heard before.
Yeah, like, we've had several people on here talk about specials.
And we've had a lot of people on here talk about comedy specials.
No one told you about your hair and makeup before, Yoshi?
I mean, I powered it up before the foundation. I put the foundation on, but yeah, I was sweating through for the second show. So yeah.
Yoshi is bald, for those of you listening to the podcast as well.
And also, you know, it's very important. You know, people don't really put a lot of emphasis on your outfit. And I think it's very important because it's part of your image and how you're going to be seen throughout your career. And also you want to make sure it's comfortable. Like I was wearing a shirt that kept riding up on me. So I was constantly pulling it down, which was
no ride ups. We don't want that.
No ride ups.
Yeah. Awesome. Great tips. That's awesome. And Slade has produced other people's specials and his own and his most recent one. You're in like a lot of times we're seeing self-produced specials in clubs and like mine was in like a smaller venue of like 60 people. Yours was in like a theater. It was a whole thing. So yeah. What from your point of view?
Well, so one of the things I want to follow up, the mic hand thing is so important. Like no one thinks about continuity. We don't as comics anyway. And it's one of the big things I'll tell comics when I'm shooting them is, you know, your reset point. Cause it's hard to get a comic to remember all these things, right? Remember your mic hand, remember your this. They're like, I'm just trying to remember my set, man. But if you can, you know, it's too much. Oh, I can't remember all that. And it's your job as the director or producer to make sure that all gets done. But giving them, I remember when I did Jerry Wayne Longmire's, it was a simple look, man, every time you think of it, just recenter with the mic in your hand, just go to that center spot. Because it gives you that reboot, right? If you're trying to edit, you're trying to make a cut, you can cheat it. You can go grab stuff from other places. And I'd find spots in my own special when I was editing where I simply switched mic hands without talking. So I had four or five of those things. If I ever needed to make an awkward cut like that, I could grab this. And there's a spot or two in there where you see me finish a bit and it only cuts camera so that I can switch mic hands and the continuity matches. The big trick in the editing, when you're trying to match, and it took me three specials to finally figure this out, a lot of it is simply in matching the footfalls. So if you can get the body bobbing when you cut the camera angle, our little brains will stitch that together as continuity. We'll go, oh, that must be the same shot. He was clearly in the middle of his step. You're watching and it's all the subconscious stuff that we don't know makes something realistic to us. It's why we're taken out of a scene on a TV show, right? The guy had the gun in his hand and now the gun's not in his hand. We don't really know that the gun's not in his hand. We just know something's off. So a lot of those reset points are fantastic. Something else I learned, please have a seat filler. Make sure there is not an empty seat. It sounds so obvious. In a small club, it's easy to spot, right? There's a missing head or this or that. But in a theater, you can pan over and suddenly realize, my God, the third row is visible and there's no one in these two seats. And it got missed because whose job is it to fill seats, right? This guy's working cameras and this guy's worried about this.
You know what, just to add to that, not to cut in, mine, not only that, the stage left in the first show, there was like this blonde woman who was very identifiable and very prominent. And for the second show, there was a white guy. And it made a huge difference. I had to cut him out because it was just so obvious that it was different.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wow. They say no one will notice the difference in audience, right? That's the conventional wisdom. But also if you put a 6'9" guy in the front row, they're gonna notice. So there's a bit of sort of hand selecting who's gonna be in those front seats. You honestly sort of want commonplace everyday people who just don't have, you know, not the guy in the crazy cowboy hat that leaves the silhouette. You want the average couple. I would say, you mentioned it too, knowing where your cameras are placed and knowing the things like that, especially if you're a physical comic, the blocking is important. Like it's very vital. I talked to specifically two of the cameramen about one joke where I knew I was going to be crouching down. I knew I had the water bottle on the stool because I didn't want anything else up there, but all of this was going to come into play. When I went down for this move, I was either going to have a water bottle in front of my face or we were going to have. So we ran that through several times, making sure that everything was tracked and we got what we wanted. And even then you miss some. But it's really for me to just trust whoever's on the other side to shoot what I'm doing just rattles my type A personality to the core. So I'm really, really conversational about what we're shooting and how and which cameras.
It's funny because during my special, two things happened. In the first show, the host left his phone on the stool.
Oh my.
And I knocked the water off the stool in the first one because I had to move the stool because it wasn't in the right space for one of my things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I didn't think from one to two that I should just put a phone there. So there was always a phone there, and that I should take the water off the stool at the same time. So those were things that were really annoying.
It's everything. Continuity is just, it's probably the most overlooked thing in stand-up. And it's even in my head when I first started thinking about shooting comedy, you say, oh, it's just a guy talking. We can just cut back. This is so simple. But all of those little things, the water placement, the stool, even the water level will take you out. You know, I've seen people do specials and they'll do a different joke later in the second show. I'm like, that's the take we want. But your water bottle is empty. This doesn't look. Yeah. So I've since become, I think anything going further, red solo cup, I think is the move or something equivalent that is opaque and not just a water bottle.
Mm-hmm. I did 2 1-hour specials and I did not take one sip of water.
Here's what it is for me. It's a safety net, one that I know if my throat gets scratchy, it's there. But also there's one joke I do in this, and I knew it was going to be when I hit I needed to do something other than just stand there, your water. I didn't want to just stand there with the mic and wait for the applause break. I knew it was coming. I knew how this was going to work. So I take the thing and I intentionally kind of swirl my bottle, and it's almost a timing tool for me. So I'm not just standing there looking like an idiot, like I would have been. But the last point I'd make is we really get in our heads when it's special time. It's because it is. It's our special. This is the big moment. And it is so simple to just kind of not be in that moment because we think it's taped and everything's got to be right. There's a lot of wiggle room in the edit. And I don't say that to make life difficult on editors. I just say it in that you can walk out and you can welcome the crowd out and you can say hi. And as long as you're not doing all of that while you're moving the mic stand, you know, it's there's sort of some room for you to be you and then get into it. And you don't have to be so rigid and here's just the words. You kind of got to have a team and trust the editor and then trust yourself to sort of live in that moment and have fun, because those are the most fun moments.
Yeah, Yoshi just filmed a special and is in the middle of the glorious post-production right now. I don't know if you have any questions for them or marketing.
Oh, please.
Or
I mean, I think a big thing that I wanted to know is, I guess, in the run-up to the release of the special, what did you do after you filmed it, right? I'm in the middle of editing, but what do you think is important for comedians to do in the run-up to actually releasing it to the world? Like, what should comedians think about? I think we get excited about the filming, right? And we get excited about the release, but what's that time period betweenhand that you think, like, are there any tips that you would have between that gap of after you film it to the release date?
Where are you releasing it? Where are you?
YouTube, and I've got some people who I wanted to also like shop it to as well, that I want to send sort of like, you know, a couple of cuts to and see if they'll pick it up. Like, you know, production companies and comedy production companies. But yeah, those are the two places that I'm thinking about it.
I think there's two ways to look at this. One, you got to go, why did I make this? And I think that's a big question with specials. What are you making this for? Because the two approaches to me are, you're making it because comedy specials are affordable and you can make them now and it's within reach. And they often lead to viral clips, and those clips lead to tons and tons of followers on social. And ideally, the social is what's prodding the clubs and the venues to book you. And that's how you fill things up. And that's sort of the workflow. And doing that, there's a way to edit a special before that, right? You start with a joke up front, you quickly get into a title where you show the comic's name, but you're right into the show because you're doing this to compete on the algorithmic platforms, and you're trying to make that math match up. And if you do that, you're giving yourself a really good chance at that getting a lot of views, because it's matching the way we're ingesting media now. It's the way people watch. And then there's the approach of, I want to make this thing, and this is what was in my own head, where I do care about the eyes, and I do care about the audience, and I certainly want this to do all of those things. But I wanted to make something that was the thing in my head. Like, here's the piece of art, the story I want to tell, the arc I want it to take. Here's the way I want it to look and the way I want it to sound and the visuals and the vibe and the, all of that stuff was rattling around in my brain. So I was like, I have to make this. And that has a minute long short film intro, really. It's kind of cinematic and it doesn't go straight into the joke and it does all the things wrong that conventional wisdom says to do in comedy. But I wanted to make something that was gonna stand the test. I could look back on it and go, I made exactly what I wanted to make. So when you have what you have, Yoshi, as you're editing, you're trying to decide what it's gonna be.
Yep.
The thing I look at is what do I want out of it? And if it's followers and things like that, start chopping this thing up now. Start booking spots on podcasts. Start trying to get the conversation out and show people, hey, this is the best thing I know how to make. I want to show the world, and you know, help me out.
Yeah,
show
for sure.
It to your friends.
For sure. Okay. Anything,
Felicia?
Yeah,
I would say the same thing. It depends on your objectives. If you're interested in making money on YouTube from it, you know, you have to get your subscribers up and your views up, and not use this special to get to that point. Because by the time you get to that point with the special, you'll be done and won't be making any more money, which is sort of where I'm at.
Very smart.
And the way you could do that is leading up to it, putting clips up, they're really big into shorts, and doing a lot of promos to say, hey, my special's coming, subscribe. I printed up cards that I gave to everyone when they were leaving shows with a link to my YouTube to subscribe. I mentioned it every time I was performing, at least, you know, I have a joke in there. Originally had a different title. It was supposed to be called 45 Years a Woman. And I hated the intro, I just didn't like the way it was. And that's something else I would suggest if you are not certain about something, try two different ones. Cause I wish I had tried it a second way, or did it a second way. Cause then maybe I could have kept it. But someone said to me, you know, really boring title, you know, whatever. And I noticed after my special, everyone was posting and hashtagging BTS because I have a joke in it called Better Than Sex. So I changed it, and I tell people in the audience I changed it to Better Than Sex because I have a joke about it in the special, and I ask them if they want to hear the joke, and they say yes, and I say, watch the special.
I'll share this. It's so clear. It's the absolute cliffhanger, of course. Back after this. My friend, I don't know if you know Justin Foster. He was out with Drew Lynch for a while. Very funny comic. He just put a special out, and I was texting with him earlier today, and he did like 25,000 views in the first 5 days or so. And it's on his own channel, which isn't populated by anything else. And I asked him, and it was literally because I wanted to pull this up. This is what he sent back to me today. He goes, for mine, we hit it really hard before it dropped and tricked the algorithm. We did a watch party premiere, had everyone comment, and work the SEOs and hashtags so YouTube would push it to more people. Also, I messaged, texted, emailed personally everyone who's ever reached out after a show and asked them to check it out. I made promo cards with a QR code and been passing them out everywhere. I hope this helps. And that's really it's just elbow grease. There's no right way to do it. Your job is to, one of the things, I'll tell you what I did find very effective. And comics are terrible people to reach out to and ask to help you promote it. And that's,
preach, brother.
Some of your friends will, but a lot of comics just won't. It's just,
well, when you're in a comedy club, they will.
Well, yeah, if you book something.
I owned one for 5 years and I can absolutely attest to it. It is no more people. I got more road work when I own my club just out of sheer, hey man, you want to come do this gig? Hey, while you're out doing this gig, man, you got any open weeks? Yes.
right.
So here's what's interesting. Comics think about stand-up comedy every day. We are more noise to stand-up comics. Some of the best responses I got, period, to my special to date have been via email or Twitter from people like Derek Sivers, who used to run CD Baby, Seth Godin, who's like the master of marketing, like these crazy big people with different followings that are in different fields. And I found that by reaching out to them, I got so much more sharing love because it wasn't something they saw every day. They weren't being asked to share a comedy special every day. They were like, oh, I have this big audience and this cool thing sort of came into my sphere. This is worth me talking about, I guess, is the way it happened. So reaching out to people that have a lot of reach but aren't necessarily in comedy was very effective for me.
So Slade, will you share my special?
Hey, I heard you own a club.
That's why she's on.
You got an email address to send the veils to? I can.
Shit, I haven't heard that before.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and also after it launches, you know, it's really fun to. You're gonna get lots of fun comments on it. I love the YouTube comments. Some of them were very interesting. And if you take the really you know bad interesting ones, like someone said, I didn't know Caitlyn Jenner was doing stand up. And you take that and you repost it and then put it on your Instagram and say, you know, it creates, you know, interest or it's the controversial ones that are going to get you more views.
I remember talking with Steve Byrne about this, and his approach to producing a special is he thinks about the title, he almost thinks about it as a movie of like, all right, what would the title of this be? And then he almost works backwards from there. It's almost like the branding and the packaging of the special is more, almost more important than the content within it.
Yeah. Well, with mine being called Better Than Sex and having a very provocative picture on the front, I have a lot of men thinking it's porn.
It's just her only fan,
but hey, I'll take it. You know, I don't care. Yeah.
New fans.
A lot of disappointed men checking out my special.
A lot of disappointed men checking out mine too. I learned a lot. So I spent some time on the road with Christopher Titus. I also am very good friends with Ali Siddiq. I've had in-depth conversations with both of them about this very thing. And I'm building the new special from the theme and the concept and the title down. And it's, I think early, and this is sort of, this kind of comes back to which sort of special are you making, right? Because for me, I spent a huge amount of my career on the road. No one's better than being in a rowdy, drunken bar and conducting that drunken orchestra and doing crowd work and crafting bits and just pulling arrows that work out of my quiver, because I got 20 years worth of comedy to pull from. But that's in a bar, and that's on a night that, you know, there's no one recording this for posterity. If you're going to create a body of work and you're going to put something out that says, this is what I was thinking about at this time, and this is what I was struggling with and dealing with and thinking about and chewing on, then it probably has to be themed. I don't just have 45 minutes or an hour's worth of random jokes I want to tell. I kind of like they're almost acts in a play. So that's what I'm building down from, and then sort of going, okay, I need to write about this. I need a story that illustrates this. What do I have in my arsenal? What haven't I talked about yet? And then it's just a matter of going in and writing all the punchlines in between.
Yeah, and also, Yoshi, as you're editing, I recorded my hour. It was an hour, and there were a couple of jokes in there that I just didn't think landed, or I just thought maybe they weren't ready, and I pulled them out, and it's now only 47 minutes. And some people are saying 20 to 30 minutes is really all you need. So if there's something in there that you really just think it's just not strong and it doesn't affect the flow of the show, take it out. Save it for your next special.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have that problem. Yeah. It all killed. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
He's like, the line was only 30.
I taped an hour. I taped an hour and six. The show we did, it was an hour and six, and we cut it back to, I think the final special is like 54 or something. But you have to be merciless. You know when something doesn't, not even that it doesn't work. It's, you know when something doesn't fit. Like there's just, I tried to shoehorn a couple of pieces in and was mercilessly beaten by my other, you know, people I'm working with who were like, just go home and think about it. And I'm like, don't tell me what my art is. And then you go home. You're like,
oh yeah, definitely. There's some stuff in there that I know I'm not going to put in, because to your point, like I'm building to your point, like a story, like the story. And I'm more thinking on the second half of what you're thinking. It's not about clicks for me. I just have this body of work that I'm super proud of that I just wanted to put out to the world and be like, this is the 9 years of comedy that I've done. And I just want to like release it. And so, you know, my mind has a bit, it's artistry, like it's actually stand up and improv. And I wanted to sort of bring both of those art forms together because I've been doing both of those things. And so I just wanted to tell that story. And there's some jokes that just did not work in my editing, to your point, that just didn't make sense for what it was.
Let me give you this too. Start working on the next one now. There is, at the end of any project, and I was very savvy about this, because I've put myself in this corner before, where when it's done and the edit's kind of done and you're just sort of sitting in this pocket, it's not out yet and it's not really, and your brain is like, well, I can still do these jokes. It hasn't come out yet. I can just still use these when I perform. But there is this point where it's gonna be out and it's gonna be there and the people will have seen it ostensibly. So you gotta have a new show. So for me, I set a date, the special we taped in August, I set a date at the Houston Improv January 9th. I called them almost immediately. It was, gave me 4 months. And I was obligated to go in and do a completely new show with nothing that was in the special and nothing I'd really recorded before. And that deadline, which is what you were talking to earlier, Felicia, is the only thing that motivates me. Damn it, there's gonna be 400 people in this room and they're expecting to see something they didn't see when they saw you 4 months ago. You better break out your notebook, cowboy.
Well, I found also part of the joy of doing this special was sort of, you know, I sort of even mentioned it in it. I just wanted to get all my material in one place. And I was kind of ready to get rid of it and excited to venture into the next deeper Felicia. I wanted to stop, you know, a lot of stuff and move in, but I ended up still doing kid jokes. But excited. And I felt like, I really felt like I grew tremendously as an artist just by filming it.
The act of creating something of that magnitude, forcing yourself to, and I don't care how long you've been doing comedy, I don't care if you've been doing it for 6 months or 20 years, the act of having to sit down and really corral your thoughts and figure out what you're trying to say and not just have them be loose rocks you throw in drunken fights at bars, which is what comedy really can be if you don't take it seriously. And this act of creation, it, now you know whether you end up loving the special or not, you have been through the process, you understand what you're doing. The next one, that's why you have to do the next one, because it's only going to be better. That's this whole process is magic. So Yoshi, for you, I'd put my head right there, like mentally edit this one, but know that this one's behind you. It's about to belong to the public and your job's to make the next one.
Yeah. I'm excited about that part. I think me and Joel talked about that after I recorded my special. I was like, I'm so excited to talk about something different. Something different. I mean, because mine was very thematic. It was like the history of like all the jokes. I was like, all right, these are the A-team jokes. Let's get them out here. And so, yeah, I'm excited about it. I like that. So as you guys thought about sort of the next thing, right, I guess somebody asked about it here, is do you consider that material sort of burned after you put it out? Or is it just back in the repertoire of things that you can do? Like, how do you guys consider sort of, especially if you're a road comic and you're still doing gigs, if you're not like getting the same kind of gigs on a regular?
I'll let Felicia answer this and then I have thoughts.
I was going to say, I want you to answer it. You're on the road. Go ahead.
Yeah, so,
go for it.
So I'll give you a perfect example. So the special came out.
Let Joel answer it. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, I still do material from the special.
So it came out, my special came out April 2nd, and I've had gigs all month. I am only doing, so I did this new hour at the Improv, and of that, I think 30 minutes is like foundationally solid. Like it's keepable, workable, pliable. I'm comfortable with it. And then I've got some new stuff I've written in the last few months. So I'm probably taking 40 minutes of stuff that's not in the special out. Mm-hmm. And then I've got one joke that's in there that's like a 9-minute bit that has this cool, you know, callback. It's mathematically perfect. It works. And I close with that when I'm on the road right now, just because I haven't replaced it with something that I'm confident enough to close on. But the material is burnt to me. Like I should be, my obligation is to be thinking about different stuff, writing new stuff. The things I do on stage should be this new thing, except for those rare instances where someone pipes off and there's a perfect opportunity to drop that pre-written punchline or joke into the crowd work and look like a genius. And that's never going to come off the table. That's the comic in me. I'm going to cheat when I can.
Yeah. I think, you know, like I had one joke that went viral and it's obvious, you know, I still do it on stage. One time I was doing it on stage and the person in the front row actually said the punchline. So that's a good reason why you should burn the material.
Yeah, well, it's so different. But Felicia, it's so different from musicians, right? We go to see musicians play. We want to see them play the hits. Why are you playing this new crap? You idiot, this sucks. No, you're the Stones. Play Satisfaction. I don't want to hear Hackney Diamond. This is play the new stuff. But with comedy, it's so dependent on the ta-da, the surprise, the feeling like you're going, not just going this way and being jerked back this way, but legitimately feeling like you're going that way and getting the whiplash. And if you know what's coming, there's ways to do a remix of a joke, right? I got new versions of stories where I double click on different parts and it might've been 4 minutes on an album and maybe it's 12 minutes when I do it live. So in that sense, it's not burnt, but man, it just should be in my head. It's like, dude, you recorded that. That was your way of saying I'm done. Print, ship, on to new things.
So is it like a mindset shift? Cause I mean, it's almost like when you find a joke that works, it's almost like grooved into your brain. And then like I'll be on stage and it almost just like locks in as I'm like going, oh, this just works right into this. And now I'm doing a bit that's like 5 years old that I know works instead of stretching myself to do something new. You know, is it like a mindset shift or intentional? 100%.
Because you know what you're working towards, right? I can think of these middle years, right? When I was in 2010, whenever. I'm great on the road. I'm having a blast, but there was no, wasn't like I was working to do anything other than maybe record an album for Spotify, right? So no one, it's not like you were making this body of work. I had everything at my disposal because no one's seen it. But when you're trying to build something that is watchable and seeable, and you're building an audience that hopefully has become a fan of your past work and is now coming to see your current work, then you're approaching it more as an artist and not as a stand-up who's hustling for the same clicks and likes and all of those Confederate dollars we can't really do anything with. It's, we're making art now, and that is a mindset shift.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy also to fall back on the stuff that you know is good. So you do have to push yourself to do the new stuff. And sometimes it's okay. Like, you know, obviously it's new, you're still developing it. And if you find yourself in a tough room or a tough situation, there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking that joke that got 2.2 million views and doing it on stage, you know?
Because we're still live performing.
You want to hear the joke? Do you want to hear the joke?
Well, here, we'll go.
She got the wrong material by us in the green room. Felicia, you know
better than this. We're like, the material's burnt. She's like, can I tell you the joke?
Watch, hold on. Watch the special.
I got a QR code to my special.
I do that in the second part of my routine when I mention it. And then everyone's like, yeah, I want to hear the joke. And I'm like, watch the special.
That's hilarious.
That is helpful, though, of you saying having something else to work towards. Because I did just decide this week I'm going to tape something else at the end of July. So I think, because there hasn't been that accountability or that deadline of like, okay, why do you really need new stuff? I mean, you're doing a corporate gig. Just do the stuff that hits, you know? So I think that accountability and that deadline, like y'all were talking about, will really start to stretch me, which is what I need. I've been in a comfort zone since my recording mine.
Yeah, that'll crack you out of it. Just start yeah. working towards a new show and letting yourself sit. It's you really do get to a point once you kind of realize you're like, all right, man, I'm funny. I know how to not die, right? Like on my my worst day, I know how to survive up here. Even if you're staring at me, even if you hate me, I'm comfortable in that. I'm more comfortable in that silence than you are. I can do this for an hour. So I know I'm over the point of being beaten by them. So that gives you some freedom to somewhere in the middle, I'm going to tell this new story and I'm going to see if it's got a punchline or two. I don't know if it's funny, but I've told it enough to think it's fun. I'm just going to see. And if you keep those great jokes hip pocketed as parachutes for moments like that, it's a bit of a calculus. All right, I can test this. It didn't work. Let me get some solid footing. And they're just trying to trust us, right? They open strong, let them know you know how to craft a joke, get the hook in their mouth, and then they'll give you that leeway you're looking for to work through something without making it a horrific, he's dying up there.
Yeah.
This guy sucks. No, I don't. I'm just working on shit.
Right.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Slade, because I do say, you know, we have a new joke night at our club, and mm-hmm. I get up there all the time and I say exactly what you said. This is like the only art form where you produce something and you got to like throw it out, you know, just like done and start all over again.
It's, but the, that process, if you learn to love that process, then it's almost more addicting to me than the end result. I was laughingly saying, I was like, I don't care if anybody sees the special, which is a lie. I do. But it was that act of making it that was so, that's really the part I got off on. It was like, wait, I was able to connect these dots and tell this story and we were able to capture it and put it out. That's the part that lets me go into this next thing, just kind of wide-eyed, like, all right, what are we going to make out of nothing this time? And if a few idiots in the crowd want to stare at me while I'm trying to do that, well, cool. Show me what you made, sir. You know?
Right. Yeah. And Tony Peters asked in the live chat, he's wanting to do his first 30-minute special. Is that too short or do you have any advice for him?
Definitely not. I mean, a lot of people are saying 20, 30 minutes is the way to go. You know, if you look at analytics, I mean, listen, I watch my special on YouTube. I don't think I could get past 20 minutes on it. You know, people don't watch the whole thing. And, you know, it's so funny. You talk to your friends and you're like, oh, you know, I watched the whole thing and I look at my analytics and I'm like, it didn't move. No, yeah, they didn't watch the whole thing. You said you were going to watch it 15 minutes ago and you said you just finished it. And that's like mathematically impossible. So people's attention spans are very short and people are saying
you send them the link and 4 minutes later that was great.
Yeah, I know, right? No way you watch my 45 minute special in 15 minutes.
You know, I said all my comedy specials on 85 times speed and then I do it while I'm mall walking.
Hilarious.
But especially for the first one, it's good to do it. And you know what, if you want to help with the costs, do it with a friend and you both do a half hour and split the cost.
Great idea.
That's what I was about to say. You could even do three. You could bring three guys in and, you know, you'd have to turn and burn. But you really could get 3 half hours out of a night if you did it right. And the Sheng Wang and I were talking. Sheng has a Netflix special. And I was asking him just about specials and this same stuff we're talking about, promotion and things. And he's done something that kind of knocked me on my feet. He goes, I don't even think you need the special. He goes, you just need the clips from the special.
It's true.
And to what we were talking about earlier, if that's what you're trying to do is just get the attention and the virality and the that, then it's really all you. So 30 minutes to an audience that's watching it in 30 seconds or 60 seconds at a time is as great as an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours. You just have less clip. So I would say do it. It's a, you know, you have to be objective with yourself about whether or not you're ready and whether or not the material is something you're going to look back on and go, I did that because it was available and not because I was ready. I have an album like that. I've tried to buy back every copy of it I possibly could. It's still there. but for the most part, that process of going through it, whether it's great or not, I think is going to make you such a more understanding, capable, ready comic. It's just, it's invaluable to go through the process.
Yeah. So in the last few minutes here, do you have any from each of you closing advice for comedians or things you wish you knew before producing a special, or just, you know, what can comics learn and at the end here?
Unless you want to go first, Felicia. And you
no, go ahead.
I think I just want to convey one thing. We are currently in an era of comedy that is different than anything I've seen before. And I came in on the tail end of the boom of the 90s, and I was there for all of the 2000s, and I was there for all of the 2010s. I've seen different iterations of this. And it's never been easier for someone to call themselves a comic. And furthermore, it's never been easier for them to prove it by shooting something like a special. So as you go to contemplate what you're going to make, I think it's important that we remember this is art, and it's not that making a special is not part of the hustle. That's not the grind. I got to go do this, and I got to raise the money and shoot the special and chop it into clips. That's not why we do this. We should do this because we have things we see, and we make connections in the world that light us up, and we want to share that with other people. So figuring out the best way to do that. What does that look like? What does that sound like? Should it be all intimate and close up? Should it be big and sprawling? What are these ideas? Those are the things I don't think we ask ourselves, because as comics, like you said, Joel, we're up there trying to survive with our best material. It's just me against these guys and the crew of two or three that we're here with, and that's the job. But when you start making things of this size and of this caliber and quality, then the job changes, and suddenly you go from the survivor out there trying to beat it up on the road to this dude who makes art and tries to make good art so that people will come see you make more art. And that mindset shift is just, it's incredible. So if we can do anything to separate ourselves from that hustle TikTok culture, it is to kind of sit back and be a little bit more intentional and a little bit more thoughtful and a little bit more involved even in what it is we're making, rather than just adhering to that template.
Yeah, and I would say, it's a big endeavor. It's an expensive endeavor. And if you're going to do it, you're going to want to do it right. So don't be afraid to collaborate with people and work with people you trust. I worked with a lot of different people. I actually put this together in 3 months. So I decided in February that I was going to do it in April. And actually, the special was the first time I ever performed the full hour. I'd never done it. Yeah. So I'd done it in pieces, but I worked with a lot of people. I worked with a lot of people, and I ran through it a lot with a lot of people, and I got a lot of different advice. And in the end, you have to trust your instinct and trust your gut, take what everyone has to say and process it, and then do what you think is right and what works best with you. And then just go out there with, 100%, knowing that this is you, and this is what you do for a living, and this is what it's all about.
Yeah, you need a challenge network like that. That's so important.
Mm-hmm. I have a cheat that I did also. I always tell people this also. I did this at our club. We have table tents on the tables. So, and we have about, I'd say like 8 front row seats, and I printed up cards, and so I had like 8 sections of my set, and I put them on the backs of the table tents. So if I got lost, or because the other funny thing that happens is you have everyone there that is really supporting you, really there for you, and they want you to succeed, so you get like a lot of applause breaks and a lot of big laughs, to the point where you're like, okay, well, whatever. And you get into it. And then I found myself like, okay, well, where was I? And I actually did look down and see like the cue of what was next. So that was a nice, good cheat.
Mm-hmm.
I had a strip of gaff tape with gold or silver Sharpie that just had probably 12 keywords. So I knew where just those beats were. And mm-hmm. I still missed a joke in the first show. I missed an extremely important piece in the first show, and we got it in the second show. But having that, just, you don't want it visible, you don't want it obvious. That's a very clever way you did it. Until someone picks it up. Wait, what are the drink specials? Hang on, that's the joke I'm doing.
well, it was funny. Yeah, it was funny also. Because I also took a clear, like it was like a Saran tape, and I wrote it on the stool. So you didn't see paper on the stool, but the host is like looking down. He's like, okay. And he's like reading my set list. He's like, what is this? I'm like, oh my God. Like,
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Well, where can people follow you and also go see your special and, you know, show love and reach out with any questions they may have as well?
Actually, I'd really love to hear that joke, Felicia, if you don't mind doing it. Yeah!
Go to YouTube, Felicia Madison Comedian.
Will you at least give us the time code?
It's on Instagram. It's tagged 2.2 million people. I went viral and like here I am still working at my club.
Hilarious.
But yeah, it's like sort of what I always wanted to do, and like here I am, I did it. But yeah, you can go to Felicia Madison Comedian on YouTube, Felicia Madison, I don't know if it's comedy or comedian on Instagram, and West Side Comedy Club is the club that I run, where you could usually find me, and Funny Stand Up, FUNY Stand Up is the school that we run.
Awesome. Very cool.
Sweet.
And we also have Funny Records. So if you want to submit your show sheet, if you want to submit to Sirius, give me a call.
Absolutely. Ooh, very cool. Ooh.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Slade?
I'm at Slade Ham, SladeHam on everything. But YouTube is really the place. I'm present on all the other platforms, but YouTube is, that's where the special is. That's where the shorts go up. That's where my podcast is. That's where my travel. That's the home for all things me, just at Slade Ham. But if you look up Signal Noise is the name of the special. And it's pretty cool. It's got music from Scarface and Candlebox. Like we did some neat stuff with it. I think it's an enjoyable watch.
Gorgeous special. That's too. Awesome. Yeah, it looks amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Hot Breathverse, go watch both of their specials. And if you enjoyed this, reach out to them. Let them know how much you appreciate them spending their time here. And we're all comics helping comics here, so let's really rally around them and help promote these specials. And we do this live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on our YouTube channel. So if you're not subscribed, go subscribe there. Join our Facebook group for our daily writing contest. And y'all have a good day. Thank you so much, Slade and Felicia and Yoshi.
Hey, appreciate you guys. This has been awesome.
Nice to meet you, Felicia.
Nice, same here. Hope to see you in person.
Well, I'll be reaching out, Felicia. Don't worry about it.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, y'all. Have a good day.